From Matteo for the presentation of our
Perfect.
speaker today. Hello, everyone. And welcome today to the speaker. The Maria is a last year PhD student at CISA, supervised by Matteo Viel. I just heard about her engagement to continue with a postdoc at Geneva, working with Martin Kunz and Camille Bonvin. Today she's talking about H1 intensity mapping, which is a topic on which she already published several papers. So I wish to congratulate for the four published papers, or five maybe, with a referee, right? So please, you can go. Thank you.
Thank you so much for the introduction. Okay, so let me start. As you know, hydrogen is one of the most abundant elements in the universe. And when one studies cosmology, you cannot help but notice that the history of the universe and the history of the hydrogen itself are somehow strictly interconnected. This is the case, for example, for recombination, but also at much later times, the distribution of the neutral hydrogen and probing the distribution of neutral hydrogen can be a key cosmological probe. Indeed, it can provide insights on the physics of reionization, but also at much later times, so in the late times, it is a bias tracer of the matter distribution. So if one has a way to probe the neutral hydrogen distribution, can actually measure important LSS properties. Several instruments now are trying to probe both reionization and LSS. One of the biggest one is the SKA Observatory. So to measure the neutral hydrogen distribution, one can use, one can measure the 21 centimeter line with line intensity mapping techniques. The 21 centimeter signal is the signal that arises from the spin flip transition in the neutral hydrogen ground state. This signal is then redshifted and we can observe it on Earth at radio frequencies. The technique that we use to measure the signal is line intensity. So with line intensity mapping, one looks at the total intensity of the 21 centimeter emission line in a very large pixel. So we have low spatial resolution, but actually we can gain with the ability of scanning very large volumes in redshift. One, with the line intensity mapping, we look at the integrated emission from multiple galaxies. So if you look, for example, here, what we get is a map of fluctuation of the brightness temperature, really similar to the map of the CMB brightness temperature fluctuation. And we don't resolve single galaxies. So the points here would be the contribution for single galaxies. We don't try to resolve them, but instead we look at the integrated emission just to look at the total distribution of neutral hydrogen. One key feature of 21 centimeter intensity mapping is what I refer to as tomography. So that the fact that we can scan very large volume in redshift, and given that we know very well the wavelength of the emission, we can construct very refined redshift beams. And this could really help us in particular for dark energy, because we can have a probe that fixes the evolution of the dark energy functions in a very wide redshift range. So there are a lot of experiments trying to probe the ERR epoch. However, in my work, so in what I did for my PhD, we focused on the large-scale structure, so the late-time large-scale structure, and so we are focusing on the redshift range between 0 and 3. So on one hand, we have neutral hydrogen, so we have baryons and baryon physics. On the other hand, we have a model that, as you know, works really well, although it still leaves us with some significant open questions. And in my work, we try to answer some of these. So we try to see what baryon physics, so neutral hydrogen, can tell us, basically on these two main questions. So on dark energy and on the neutrino cosmology. Although today I'm only going to present the results we get for dark energy. So this is an overview of the work that I did. So it's also an overview of the talk that I'm giving today. And basically we begin by constructing the 21 centimeter observable. Indeed, we don't have real observations, real detection yet. So we did a forecast analysis and we constructed mock data sets of the 21 centimeter signal. And we tried to see the constraining power of 21 centimeter observations on the lambda CDM, so on the standard cosmological parameters, and on the beyond the CDM universe, in particular, as I said, on dark energy and neutrinos. I leave you here the papers this talk is based on, if you're interested for more details. Okay, so let's start with the 21 centimeter observable. The observable is the power spectrum, the 21 centimeter power spectrum, which is which can be modeled in a very simple way, similar to what we do for the galaxy power spectrum. In here, of course, the main dependence is on the matter power spectrum, because as I said before, 21 centimeter is a bias tracer of the underlying matter distribution. Indeed, we have the standard RSD term with the BH1 being the H1 bias. And we have an additional dependence on the brightness temperature, which is a quantity that will depend on the omega H1, so on the density of the neutral hydrogen. Here you can see our predictions for P21 at different redshifts. And this model has been studied and improved to be in very good agreement with the dynamical simulation results. So this is why we trust it. Once we have the power spectrum, we can proceed with standard LSS techniques. So we can also compute the multiples. And if we expand the power spectrum in Legendre polynomials, we can compute the monopole and the quadruple, for example. In my work, we did both. So we both constructed mock data set for the power spectrum for fixed values of mu, and also for the multiples. We use the first two, the monopole and the quadrupole, because they're the only one for intensity mapping that carries information. They carry information. Okay, so we decided to focus on SKAO observations. We did that for two reasons. First, because SKA will cover all the relevant frequencies with unprecedented sensitivity. Indeed, SKA is a very large project and is being built in two different sites, one in South Africa and one in Australia. The Australian site will cover very high redshift, and so this will be useful to probe the EOR. While instead, the South African site we cover the redshift we are interested in. So I will talk about what is the SKA need survey, which will cover the redshift from 0 to 3. The second reason we want to work with SKA is that the SKA pathfinder, the SKA need pathfinder, which is Meerkat, it's already taking data. And so we expect to have real results soon. And so this is why we focus on this. And we will produce both forecasts for Meerkat and for the full SKA potential. The instrument enters in our mock datasets, in the instrumental noise, which depends on all the specifications of the instrument. Here, I just show you the SKA one. And SKA has the peculiarity too that it will be probe very large areas of the sky. Then the instrument enters also in the beam effect. So given that the beam of the instrument is finite, we will have a damping of the signal, which will depend on the beam physical size. And so we introduce this in our modeling of the observations. When we deal with multiples, we will have also the covariance between multiples, which can be computed in this way, and which will depend again on the instrumental noise. So I won't go into technical details, but just to show you the key points where the instrument enters in our simulations. So this is one of the forecasted datasets that we use. So this is a single beam observation for Meerkat. And this is a realistic measurement. Indeed, the redshift that we choose, which is 0.39, it's the redshift beam that is actually being measured from the scientific collaborations working with Meerkat. Indeed, this is a very first result that they produced not so much time ago. And there are not out of power spectrum measurement available yet, but they were able to get a very nice cross-correlation signal. And so this is actually promising. And this is why we decided to study also a Meerkat-like measurement in the hope that it will be available in the next years. On the other end, it's also interesting to see and to study what is the full potential of the SKIO. So the other dataset that we constructed is actually a tomographic dataset in the sense that we construct several different redshift beans in the redshift range from 0 to 3. And in here we consider the full SKIO potentiality and so with larger area with respect to meerkat besides the number of beans that can be detected. So let me show what results that we get on the Lambda CDM model with the 21 centimeter observable. The pipeline that we use is the following. We conduct full Monte Carlo Malcolm-Chain analysis in which we vary all the standard cosmological parameters. And we test the constraining power of P21 alone and combined with CMB data. So here you can see the results we get. So these are our best results. So these are the one that we get for the multiple data set that I show you. So for the full SKA. And here we compare different stuff. So for example, the constraint that we get from the monopole, the quadrupole, the two combined, and with two different covariance matrices taken into account. But the thing that I wanted to show you here today is just this one. So what we get is that we have good constraints on the cosmological parameters. Of course, they are not comparable with CMB data, but still they are comparable with other probes. And the interesting point here is that we have very, very marked correlations. For example, in the plane H0 and omega C, and of course in sigma 8 and the yes, but this is given, right? So this we see in a moment that this will really help when we combine this with CMB data. So here, what I wanted to show you is this. On the left, we have the plot that I just showed you for the SKA, while on the right, we see our results for the single bean mock dataset, so with meerkat. So look at the blue here. And so to say, we can say, what can we do realistically in the near future? And what instead can we do in the far future with the full potential of SKA? The interesting feature that we notice is the following, that the marked correlation that we saw with SKA, it's still there already with meerkat. And so we hope that this feature will be enough when combined with CMB, as we will see in a moment. Although, of course, at the meerkat level, so with just one bean, the constraints on the cosmological parameter are not competitive with other probes. So we learn that we will need tomography, although the main correlations that arises from this observable are still there in the realistic scenario. What happens is that when we combine this data with CMB, what's interesting is that if you look at here in the blue one, the blue contours are the contours from Planck alone. And as you can see here, with respect to here, they lie in the almost orthogonal direction with respect to what we get for 21 centimeter intensity mapping. So when we combine the two, we get really nice constraint on omega C and H0 mainly. And we think that this is an interesting result. We get a constraint, we get an error reduced for about a factor 4 on omega C and H0. But we get also some effects on the yes, because given that we have a tomographic data set, we are able to fix also the amplitude of the power spectrum. And we get reduced errors by a factor more or less 3. Of course, up to now, I cheated a bit because I didn't take into account the fact that in a real case scenario, you won't really have a real measure of the brightness temperature and the H1 bias. So the results I'm showing you here are for a fixed temperature, brightness, temperature, and H1 bias. So to say, we assume we have a perfect measure of the astrophysics involved, although this will not be the real case scenario. So we also study what happens when instead we add as new SNCC parameters. And so what happens when we introduce uncertainties on the astrophysics. What happens is the following. So look at the yellow contours here. Given that we use tomography data set, our results on H0 and omega C is confirmed. So we still are able to reduce the errors on these parameters when we combine it with Planck, although we lose our information on the AES. Indeed, this is because the brightness temperature, as you recall, is just an amplitude that multiplies all the power spectrum. So if we leave it free to vary, actually we lose the information on the amplitude of the power spectrum. Again, let me just compare an optimistic versus pessimistic scenario. So what we can see is that with Meerkat, with just one bean, still, we are already able to see the results on H0 and omega C, but without taking into account the nuisances. So if we, with Meerkat, if we would know perfectly the astrophysics involved, we would get some results on H0 and omega C. However, when we open it to the nuisances, we go back to the Planck constraints. So this is an indication that tomography is really helping us with keeping our results when we open to the nuisances on H0 and omega C. Okay, so this concludes the overview of the results we get for LAMZM. And now I'm going to present one results we got for the beyond LAMZM universe. So we focused on dark energy, and we tried to see, we used the Meerkat forecast because we wanted to see what can we do in the near future for dark energy. So we used the single bean observation mock dataset, the black points that I show you here. And we decided to work in a model independent framework. And so we do not focus on a specific model of dark energy, but instead we work within the effective field theory approach. I won't go into details, but just to give you an idea of how the effective field theory of cosmic acceleration work. So EFT is a very general theoretical technique. It was first introduced in a cosmological scenario to describe inflation. And later it was applied to cosmic acceleration. Nowadays, they use it also for LSS, as you know. The idea behind EFT for dark energy is to construct the most general action to be effective in the sense to be easily interfaced with observations and unifying, as it must include as many dark energy modified models as special cases. Because as you know, this is a sketch of the situation of the proposed modified gravity dark energy models that are now available, and they are a lot. So no observation is still able to discriminate among models and to select to point towards the correct one. So the hope is that future observations such as KDA and 21 centimeter intensity mapping could help us in improve the error bars on the parameters describing the dark energy models, and so help us in selecting the correct model beyond LAMZM. We decide the full FEA function is very long, it depends on 9 parameters, but we decide to focus only on the main three. So this is the action that we consider. So here we have the running of the Planck mass, the cosmological constant term, and the first term that multiplies the metric perturbations. So with this approach, we decide to focus to work in the with pure EFT models. What we mean with pure EFT is that we don't connect evolution of these three functions to specific models, but just choose a parametrization for them and then just work with model independent approach. So we study two of them, a linear parametrization in which omega the function omega EFT is a linear function of the scale factor, and an exponential one, in which omega EFT has this strange dependence of the scale factor. And this choice is motivated by other works in literature and the fact that this can be reconducted to specific models of dark energy. Then we decide to focus to work in the designer approach. This means that we choose omega, the evolution of omega EFT and of the Hubble parameter, because we expect that the background will be more or less LAMZM, and so we want to study only the effect of the perturbations. By doing so, it can be shown that these other two functions are automatically fixed. And so what I'm going to show you are just constraints on this omega EFT function.
I'm sorry, Martha.
Yeah. Sure.
A very minor point. The designer approach, the lambda of A and C of A are not designed by the same function, right?
I'm sorry, they are not?
Is there any typo in the designer approach? I see that the lambda of A and C of A are equal to the same function.
Oh, yeah, sorry. This is the C. Thank you. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Apologies. Yes, of course, these are functions of omega EFT and H, but this is C, of course. Thank you so much. Okay, so why to study these parametrizations? So these parametrizations were actually first studied in the first code, the first publications of the code EFT-CAM, which is an extension of the code CAM specifically built to study EFT theories. And in the first work, they found, of course, no evidence for models beyond MSBN. But instead, they studied also the same models. This is for the exponential parametrization. They studied also in the latest Planck paper. And they find that if they allow omega zero EFT to span all the parameter space, so they relax some of the theoretical prior they had, for example, in this plot here, they found that the data has a slight preference for negative values of the omega zero EFT, and with a slight significance for a preference of values 2.1 sigma away from the lambda CM unit. So of course, this is not a great tension, but we wanted to exploit it. And this is the reason why we decided to work with these models. So before going to the results, do we expect to be sensitive? Do we expect the 21 centimeter signal can carry some information about dark energy models? Well, in principle, yes, because here you can see the black points are the forecasted data sets, while instead the other lines are the theoretical predictions for pre-21 for different values of the omega EFT parameters. And as you can see here, the observable varies a lot. So in principle, we expect to be sensitive to variations in these parameters. However, we will see that these points here, so single bean observations, are not enough to constrain all the cosmological parameters along with the EFT ones. And when we combine this with Planck, we will see that Planck already constrained omega EFT to be less than 0.1, so less than between the gray line here and the green here, the green line here. So we won't add much. However, we will see that using multiple HVs or tomography could really help us in constraining this kind of models. So here you can see our results for pure EFT. So I'm going to show you only the results for the exponential evolution of the omega EFT function. And these are the results for the 21 centimeter power spectrum alone. So first, this is not expected. So we thought this could be an interesting result. What I showed you for the cosmological parameters, for the lambda scale cosmological parameters, is not changed when we open the parameter space to the EFT parameters. And so the results I showed you before remain unaffected. When we use the single bean observation for P21, we can see that it has a very weak constraining power on omega zero EFT. So this is this dashed line here and the gray contour. We can see that omega zero is almost unconstrained. However, when we do tomography already at the MIRCAT level, so in here, the exercise that we did was to construct mock beans within five beans, but for MIRCAT, not for the full SKA. And we see that already at the MIRCAT level, the constraining power is improved a lot. So look, for example, at the red contour here, and we can see that we can get a constraint on omega zero EFT. What happens instead when we combine them with Planck? So look here at the difference of gray contours are the Planck contours alone, the orange one and Planck plus P21 with one bean, and the blue one instead are Planck plus P21, but with this fake tomography that we constructed for MIRCAT. Instead, don't look at this because this is a really ideal case in which we have tomography and very small errors. So just to compare the two, again, at the realistic level, we'll still get an effect. The effect is at the level of 10%. So we get a reduction on the errors on omega zero EFT of 10% more or less. And we see instead that when we use tomography, this can goes up to the 26% and the 35% in the very ideal case of very small errors on the 21 centimeter observable. So actually, this is a great slide to summarize what we did, because basically these are the main results that we got. So at the realistic level, we can still an effect, or we can see an effect on dark energy models, but it's really mild. But this can be a hint that our study can be a hint that tomographic measures can really help in constraining dark energy. So let me sponsor my other works if you're interested. So we are working also on constraining the neutrino mass, and these are preliminary results, and we are still finishing to write in the paper. And instead, if you're interested also in gravitational waves and the constraint of gravitational waves on dark energy, I leave you here this work that I did with our collaboration with our collaborators on intensity mapping and cross correlation with intensity mapping and gravitational waves. So thank you so much. I leave you here the summary of my talk and of the results we got.
Thank you very much, Maria. Perfectly on time. A very clear seminar. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
I have a lot of questions, but before me, is there any comment or question from the audience online?
I have some questions, yes.
Please.
When you speak about the nuisance parameter, TB and BF, you have some more to add, I think, now maybe linked to the astrophysical foregrounds, or because this would add some nuisance.
Yeah. For sure. Let me check if I have a slide here to show you. Yes, so basically the nuisances that we add are these combinations of the brightness temperature and VH1 and the grow rate and S8. Mm-hmm. So, and of course, when we have multiple beans, we add one nuisances for each bean in redshift. And we are being completely agnostic. We don't assume anything. We assume that we don't know anything on the astrophysics, and just we add these parameters as nuisances parameters and vary them, and then marginalize them out when we compute the constraints and cosmological parameters.
Yes, but you don't take into account the fact that you may have some nuisance parameter linked to, for example, synchrotron removal or this kind of stuff. I'm not speaking about mm-hmm. the astrophysical of H1 here, but...
We in first approximation, we didn't take that into account. Because basically already at this level, looking at the observable itself, if you vary already these two, you basically vary everything. You're just left with the matter power spectrum. Does it make sense?
Sure, I understand. This just gives the best case, in fact.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
And for the slide 9, you show a cross correlation. It was with what? About the
Mercator? Sorry, for what?
In slide 9. You show a cross correlation. You say we see something in cross correlation.
Oh, yes, this is a work from Cannington et al., from the scientific collaboration working on MeerKAT. And they saw a signal in cross-correlation with Beagle Z galaxy clustering observations. And this is just actually, this is the map that they get for the 21-centimeter signal. So before and after the foregram cleaning. So this is not the power spectrum. It's just the map that they get.
Ah, this is the actual map. This is not the cross-correlation.
This is the actual map, yeah. But from this, they are not able yet to compute the out of power spectrum, but mm-hmm. just the cross correlation.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it will come around soon.
Yeah, we hope. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool.
May I ask something in the same line of the first Ghislaine question? In one of the very first slides, you mm-hmm. quoted a conclusion by Viles Cruz Navarro showing agreement between the observable linear model and hydrodynamical simulation. Now, which kind of hydrodynamical simulations with which recipes? And do you expect whether if adding to hydrodynamical simulations some other astrophysical effects, thinking about feedbacks from stars and AGN, I'm expect that they would actually I had some very preliminary results showing some effect until tens of megaparsecs, let's say 30, 40 megaparsecs, even though initially acting on very small scales. And so propagating to larger scales. So do you think it's worth considering a more realistic or at least a complete simulations, mm-hmm. finally affecting also your linear model?
Yeah, sure, of course. I think that the hydrodynamical simulations that they did, I don't recall now the details of the simulation. It's a very it's a reference paper that they usually use for H1 results. And yes, of course, one can also use much complicated models. For example, one can model also the halo terms precisely and with the mass function.
Recently, I'm playing with this SIMBA simulation on small boxes. The box is 50 megaparsec large, okay? Mm-hmm. With a lot of different recipes for feedbacks. And of course, everyone has its own preferred recipe for feedback. Mm-hmm. Nonetheless, we see that these small scale effects affect the morphology, including the temperature field, even on very large scales. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if after extracting the 10^1 power centimeter power spectrum, you might expect some deviation, of course, not on the large scales, but on the scales of, if I did the calculation properly, at least at K of 0.2. So.
Okay. We don't get much after 0.2. I mean, our data set actually stops around 0.2.
Okay.
We did only one study to go in full nonlinear and up to 0.1.
Okay.
But yes, I think that with the SKA, they expect to go a bit higher than 0.2.
SKA 1.
The only SKA 1.
Sorry?
Yeah, sure.
There's no
SKA 2. Yeah, you still see some forecasts with the SKA 2, and that's useless.
So. Oh, yeah.
Okay, please, Glenn, I see your hand raised.
Yeah, I had one more question. When you make your model, this one, mm-hmm. and then after you combine with Planck, but in your model, you have to run it for all the different cosmological parameters also in agreement with what is in Planck, right? You make it consistently.
Yeah.
Okay.
With the analysis in Planck, you mean?
I mean for each of the Planck cosmology, you have to regenerate your model.
Oh yeah, sure. Yeah. I mean, we construct the data set. So we have this fake observation with the points and errors, and then we run the MCMC. So at each step of the MCMC, we recompute the theoretical expectation. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And do you have some contour plots showing the what you expect for H naught? This is without a Planck constraint or CMB constraints in general.
Yeah. Let me.
I miss it.
Let me just, we can see it already here at this level.
Okay, is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Which is, So when you take into account the full covariance, provided that the astrophysics which is not taken into account, nonetheless, it points toward low values.
Okay, but this is fake because, I mean, here you should interpret these results only for the errors that they give, because the central points are fake because they're our input cosmology, right? So we input a value of H naught to construct the mock data set, and here is just
you're
recovering. Yeah, precisely.
You're centered on CMB, okay.
Yeah. So we will have to see where the real data are pushing us, but we can only comment on the errors and how the errors can shrink. Yeah.
Mathilde.
Yes, sorry, can we go back to to slide 5?
Sure.
the mu term, can you re-explain what is it, please? The
neuter. A mu is just a cosine between the line of sight and the k mode. Okay. So when we go to the Fourier space, basically, and so basically is an indication of the direction you are looking at, right?
Yes.
And actually, when we do the multiples, this dependence of mu, if you look at here, it's just integrated out, mm-hmm. and so we get the dependence only on the k.
Okay. Did you have a term to include also the redshift space distortion, or maybe it's negligible, the redshift, I don't know.
We basically, yes, we just introduced them just like this with the standard LSD term in the modeling of the power spectrum.
Okay.
We don't do something, this is just a first approximation. Of course, you can do and study something more sophisticated, adding finger of gods and other effects.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
But we expect that at the scale that we measure, so up 2.2, these are negligible in first approximation.
Okay.
Elaine, your end is still raised.
Sorry.
Oh, that's fine.
No.
Okay. Well, don't know if there, I wouldn't still have some a lot of questions, but maybe it's better to stop here and send it to you via mail. Is there any, or any other comment or question?
No.
Okay. So thank you again.
Thank you very much.
Maria. Thank you.
Let me just take the opportunity to advertise next week a cafe club in person and hybrid mode eventually. My PhD students coming from Caltech, if I remember correctly, a visitor of Rafael and Galazzi. Thank you so much and see you next week.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.